There's lust outside and love or true love inside. You see? God is love. Our soul is also love is innate in our souls. And this requires somebody to be attached, you see. Conscious entity should be attached to all consciousness. It is now being attached to the physical world and outward attachments. This is the reason why we are coming again and again to the world, because we are attached to the world. How to differentiate and understand what is true love and what is outer love? Physical love and the true love. So for that I was just explaining, if we really understand that difference between the two, if we just study our own selves, we are conscious beings. We are drop of the ocean of all consciousness, environed by the cardinal macrocosm is in the microcosm. In macrocosm there are three planes, physical, astral and causal. So we have got bodies, physical body, astral body and causal body to work through those planes. Now we are working the physical plane with having causal body and the astral body. Now, while working in the physical plane, we've got the outgoing faculties which are fixed in this physical body, which open outside, receive impressions from outside, whatever good or bad. Though the man who is just imbued with the attachment or love, you may say, of the outward enjoyments, you see, those impressions are being embedded into your astral body through the physical outgoing faculties. The true color of our own self is not the physical body, which may be very clean, very much beautiful, but the true color which is already embedded in the astral body, that we cannot see with the outer eye. Our master used to say, when a man comes to me, I see whether it is a jar of glass, whether it contains the sweet things are the sour things. His eye has become etherealized, he could see. Or when we leave our physical body, we appear in our true colors. You follow me now? So, the man, human, whose astral body is quite clear with the outward impressions, with no lust, with no attachments, hated anything in life, but is imbued with the love of God, such like men, when you come in his company, you see, by radiation you will have that thing. And in the astral body are the impressions of the past birth. When those are also cleared, you see, he is called a saint, true sense of the world, you see. So, no, so they always deprecate the love of the physical body in outward attachment. All masters. That is called the physical love. If you have company or think of someone whose astral body is not clear, not cleansed, which is not imbued with the love of God, or not, what you say, imbued with the outer attachments and loves and hatreds, such like man, the company of such a man will give you radiation of being cleansed. And those as causal body also cleared of all this back birth. Well, such a man, if you think of, that form will be always with you, guarding you, helping you, even if the man concerned doesn't know whether you are helping or not. You see? So such like even do appear in the case of saints and masters. Those who remember them, you see, are heard, that appears to them, that form. He has not seen. Only for that reason. That is why Kabir says, my mind is so has become so cleansed, it is as limpid as you when you go to Haridwar, the water of the Ganges is limpid. If you see from above, even the small pebbles are seen very clearly. So her mind has become clear so much, my astral and the causal body, that God is after me. He just works as a slave out of me. So God is out of such a person whose astral and causal body is all free, imbued with his love, not imbued with the worldly attachments. You follow? No. Now there's a difference between love of the outer and the inner. Must have been deprecating the love of the physical body. The man whose astral body is just imbued or spotted, you see, with the, you might say, by the filth of the outside, attachments and other things, such a man may look very clean outside. If you sit by, you'll have radiation that way. If you have just sit by a man whose astral body is clear, clean, you have radiation cleanness. He's imbued with the love of God, that is, you grow inside with the love of God. And who is also, whose causal body is also quite clear. Well, such like, if you think of him, he, you have not seen, you simply heard through somebody. He will appear, you see, he will help him. So that is the difference between the two, love and the real love. He should love whom? God. And who else? Whose mind is so clear that God is quite reflected in him. God is light, God is sound principle. Whenever he will tell you, you'll get light inside. The other man who's in the astral body and causal body is not clear. He may tell you do this and that thing. You might be putting 4 hours, 6 hours a day, then you won't get light. You find the difference now between the real love and the physical, outer life. So all masters, I'll say no, so-called masters, they can always reflect, just maintain on the form of the master. God forbid, if he is not cleansed inside, then you will become what he is. God is one who comes of itself. So that is why I never ask anybody to meditate on the form of the master, to save them from that drawback, you see. So now the difference you find, love God and the one whose astral body and causal body is quite clean. He may be strict outside for reasons, but his mind is quite clear. Loving God is love for all men. Love thy enemy. He has love for the enemies too. See? Such like man is a master. You love God for the sake of him in whom that he is reflected in full, whose mind vision is quite limpid. Such, if you love such a man, then that you God's love will grow in you. And you rise above physical body, astral, causal body, go where that very God is manifested in. That is the difference between real love and the true love. Love which, love God and any other in whom that love is. I mean, whose astral body and causal is quite clean. If you sit where you will have radiation like that. Any word he will express, you see, he will give you initiation and you will get light. Because you got light reflected in him, the one who has got no light reflected in him, how can he? 100 initiations may be given. You will be putting an hours and hours for that, light cannot be given. That's the vast difference between the physical, outer world, love and inner love. I was explaining the other day too, in a way, you see. Today is quite clear. So there may be no misapprehension. We should love God and others whom the God is reflecting. The criteria to know is he will give you initiation and you will have light. And Christ said, I am the light of the world, whosoever will come to me shall never walk in darkness. Sadhguru mile andhera jaye jahan dekha tha. That's the criterion. These things are given in books. But all these things, you see, with all these books, even then you want guidance, somebody who is a practical man, he knows what is what. He will explain the difference very clearly in very few words. Why should we love God? Because we are conscious beings and natural, each thing wants to go to our own reality. Why we should love God, man, and not others? And what is the criterion of that? God, man is one whose astral body and cause are quite clean, limpid, in which God's light is reflected. You see? Whoever comes in contact with him and he gives a little attention there, that light becomes reflected there. We can sustain it. It is always there, but that cannot be. There are so many hundreds of people giving initiation nowadays. There are so many gurus and masters that there are no followers, disciples in the world, so many. The only criterion of a true master is when he gives initiation, you'll have some experience to start. So that is the difference. When you receive initiation, you get some light. It means the man through whom it is begun is clean. That God's light is reflected in him, and that radiates. Others simply give some few words to repeat, some little things to do. They go on for hours. Whenever they go to hour, they go on, put in more time. Such people have come to me 4 hours, 6 hours. Then they don't get light. The reason is very clear now. So love God and next room. If you come across somebody who is competent to give you some light, that means his inner life is clear. If by sitting home you simply go on repeating hundreds of times, there are good actions, but not clean life, you see. Light will come up only, it is there, but it will manifest only when somebody in whom that reflected light is there, he simply directs. Like example I will give you. A child is born in a cave, coal mines, for instance. He was born there, bred there. Now there's all darkness there. If you put in one glass mirror, in which the light of the sun is reflected, that light is reflected into the cave. The child in the cave sees that light. You see? Any heart, now I may explain to you, in the God, sun of the light. Light of the sun is reflected, and that is directed anywhere, they will give a light. That is the true difference, vast difference between a true love and physical love. You cannot have this thing from man who is not reflecting light of God within him. There are so many, in India, everywhere, you see, there are so many masters. They have good propaganda, you see. They have very propaganda can be had by money, anybody can do it. But the real thing, what is the criterion? Criterion is already he is able to give you something. The true master is one who can withdraw your attention from outside, you see, bring up the outgoing faculties, physical first, and then give you some reflection of light. That is sort of a gift, you see. That's sort of a gift. And that's the criterion to judge right from the wrong. So by the books, these things are referred to. Words cannot explain these things very vividly, as I am telling you now. So love God and others whom God is referring. What is the criterion? When he initiates you, when you think of him, light will boost within you. He is competent to give you first-hand experience. On the very day of initiation, he may be blind. These things are referred to in the books. In words cannot be expressed. I mean, so vividly as I am telling you now. All masters, generally, everybody, Lord is right on me. I am talking of all. I am in touch with the heads of the different religions. You see, as a president of the world religion. They all prescribe this thing. For that, what comes for a little while, some concentration is there. But light cannot come. So that's the difference. The man who is imbued with the lust of the world, physical, he maybe look very clean, very good propaganda. You cannot have light. Light you will have only from somebody whose astral body and cause of all clean, vivid, limpid, quite, in which God's light is reflecting. So such like masters do come. The world is never without them. The many, the more the better. But such life you come to give to the world, you see, not to take anything, you see. So, love somebody who is imbued with the love of God, who is astral in causal body, quite limpid, in which the God's reflection, God's expression is into light and sound, that is there. When you initiate it, you will have that. You may be with eyes, having eyes on the face or not. So love whom? God. And who else? Who is competent to give you that? That is a clear proof that he has got clear astral body and causal body. So there is a difference between the love of the physical body and the God, or the God in man. There's a vast difference. These things are referred to in the books by giving various examples, but not quite very, I mean, vivid and clear understanding. So, you see, when God will meet you, gives you initiation, something to start with, he guards you against any reveling in the outward enjoyments, reveling in the low pursuits of lust, anger, and such like. Because those impressions are received through the outgoing faculties, which are open outside, receive impression from outside, and they are embedded in our astral body. Just like I gave an example, the glass. You see? Put it a cover of this gum. Gum, no. Womb. Womb, look each other way. Wax. Put it layer on that. And put it, some impression on that. Put it under some acid. And all those impressions we embedded on the glass. You see? Similarly, through the physical body, the outgoing faculties, all impressions outside are impressed in our astral body. And that, who says, who is yogic at heart, I would say, you see? Or when you leave this body, you appear in your true color. So the outer criterion is only that even initiates you, he gives you something to start. Because that God is reflected in you. In whom is not reflected, you simply all repeat this and go on with these things for hours and hours. If for some reaction that you pass, something may come up, but they don't know what to do further. So be very careful, I would say, about having society with people who are imbued with the love of the physical world, you see. Just have a company of somebody. That is when the sixth, you see, there's a prayer. Oh God, give me the society of one who is the mouthpiece of the master. Or who is the mouthpiece? Because the man who becomes the mouthpiece of a true master, he becomes the mouthpiece, because the true master is the mouthpiece of God. He becomes the mouthpiece of God, you see. Or such company of such people in whose company you are the member. This is a prayer among the six, every day. At night only we say prayer, oh God, give us the company of a saint. Company of a saint means the company of the God, you see, isn't it? So this is a different, very fine difference, you may say. Why we should love God? Why should we love God in man? Why should we love others? So you can love God. Love God in man, whose criterion I have given you, only for the God in him. Again, be careful. So that he is just one with God, and you become the one with the master, then you are one with God. That is why all masters who came in the past are who just sat at the feet of masters. As St. Paul said, I live, thou not, I live. It's Christ in the feet. And all other masters say so. So that is why I don't advise anybody to reflect on the form of the master. That's one very valid reason. God is one who will manifest himself in the our subconscious is the wire of the mind. It's quite clear. You know, that will come of itself. I always prayed, oh God, I want to meet you in the early life, I'm telling you. But I'm afraid I might go to somebody in whom you are not reflected. Then my life is all wasted. In the olden days, it is sad you did appear to the Bhakta lovers. Why can't you appear manifest now? This is my prayer, very strong prayer. Then it appeared, my master used to appear to me before. I took him as Guru Nanak. When he met you 7 years after, in 1934, he was with me in 1917. I was just traveling the higher planes, visiting outer places. And when I was very fond of rivers, from the very commencement, you see. So I came to Lahore and Bias River were quite nearby. Yard. Let us go to the Bias Sea. When I went there and detained, you see, from the train, there was a station master there. I said, which way this river flows? Oh, you have come to see the master. Is there any master? He said, yes, he also lives by the side of the river. So went to see the sea, you see. River and Sadhu master, same master you have 7 years before. You follow me now? Two masters appear after self. Heart should be pure. These are some things, you see, very, not given out very clear, but this becomes a reason is, you see, whose astral body and causal body is quite clear. If you pray God, God is within you. He brings you in contact with somebody where he is like reflective, that's all. And truly speaking, he is a true master. Love God and only such will just computer like that, that will show that there is something in him. Not always. So that is different. Love of the body, those imbued with the lust of the body, and those imbued with the love of God. With astral body and causal body is quite clean. आप समझ गए भाई साहब इसी मिजाजी और हकीकी में क्या फर्क जो तुमको जिस मानियो तुमको जिस मरनेगा बस नॉल्सो यू विल सी देयर सम कलर्स व्हिच रेडिएट फ्रॉम द ह्यूमन बॉडी अकॉर्डिंग टू द हिज लाइफ दोज यू हैव गॉट से वेरी लस्टी थॉट्स यू सी जस्ट लाइक रेड एंड ब्लैक color combined, just like radiation you find. Though you are with anger and other things, you have radiation red, lurid red. Though you are with the love of God, you see, bluish color, radiation. You who are, as to the, I mean, true spirituality, you find golden color. These are differences, you see. Books give us reference to that. You see, when I see any form of a master, they give a halo around his head, give a golden color or white color. That's the reason for that. Those who are fortunate, I would say, they have been led to a master who has given them something to start with, maybe little or more. It means there is something in him. You are put on the right way, then develop it. God is one who will come of himself, manifest of himself to you in some form in which he manifests. So, ye baatein aapko maloom hai, aap ishq-e-mijaji ka farq aur dusre ka maloom ho gaya. Isse bacho aur usme lago. This is dead body, there's a reference in what you are reading, that is dead body we are carrying. How long will you carry the dead body with you? You see? So love of the physical body is the love with the dead body. This is colored according to the thoughts which are embedded in your astral body. That's all. Tin baaton ko samjho bhai, jeevan mein dharan karo. Ye cheezein kitabon mein reference aati hai, di nahi hai. Di ja sakti nahi. कि अगर ऐसी खुशकिस्मती ऐसी किसी मिल गई चीज उसकी कदर करो कमाई करो तुम वही बन सकते हो जो वो बने एवरी सेंट हैज इट्स पास्ट एंड एवरी सिन इन फ्यूचर यू आर पुट ऑन द वे वेयर यू विल बिकम एज गुड एज ए सेंट यू सी ड्यू कोर्स ऑफ टाइम ऑफ कोर्स टाइम फैक्ट इज नेसेसरी बट he cannot be above the master, but as good as he is. Because if God is him, who can be more than God? That's the reason. So don't be led away by the outward propaganda and this and that. Look to the true state of affairs and just stick to it. People are misled by propaganda. They hear one thing, 10 times that becomes as true as good as true. And saints never make any counter-propaganda, so never. Time does prove what is true. They wait for the time. Time proves is what is what. So those who have got the true understanding of the thing, they should stick to it. Those who come in contact, they may friendly way explain to him, that's all. If anybody thinks he loves him, you don't think of anybody else. That's the main thing. Because you spoil your own inner state of mind, you see. So put in time as much as you can with due love for God, for the God in him, and to all the world over, because we are all brothers and sisters in God, and God in them. So this is the most important part of our life. As a man, we should have some spiritual food, contact with spirituality, God in us. The more we put trust there on spiritual health, depends the life of mind and body both. That's all I mean. To Paramartha, nehaa zaruri hai, jism ki khuraak roti, pani, buddhi ki khuraak padhna, likhna, vicharna, aur atma ki khuraak Paramartha se jodna. The bread and water is the food for the physical body. Learning, etc., this and that is the food of the brain. Intellect and contact with God is the bread of life. Have that. Give more importance to that. Other things follow of themselves. आपके भजन का क्या हाल है? यू भाई आई वॉज जस्ट टॉकिंग अबाउट द डिवोशन टू गॉड एंड टू द मास्टर यू सी ट्रू वर्शिप लाइज इन द फैक्ट दैट मैन मस्ट बी ट्रू टू द वर्ड्स ऑफ द मास्टर द गॉड स्पीकिंग थ्रू हिम. What he says is the Bible, is the Veda, is the Grantha, is the Quran. Take it as Bible truth, you see, and act on it. By simply paying obeisance outside, that won't help you. Unless you pay obeisance to the words of the commandments given by the Master, the God in him. Understand? Many people come to the system. What for? Only to have personal interest in that. Name and fame, I am the biggest worker in the satsang. Just having control, otherwise, well, people just look to my beck and call, like that. He wants to just supersede the master too. He said the master work is going on only through us, but for us. Such like attitude, these people go on so long as their interests are served, they will go on. When their interests are marred somehow or other, directly or indirectly, they will go against the master openly. Such instances have been always in the times of the master too. Even Judas was played against Christ. It was you crucified him. Even in all sessions, people come of different tastes. I am telling you, those who come with true hearts, really for devotion to God, they will have God. But if they come with some purpose in view, maybe name and fame, maybe some lucrative point of view, you see, maybe for some purpose here and there, well, such like people cannot derive the full benefit of coming to the mat. You see, those very people who were become the, I mean, commanders, those very people, when their interests are not served, they go against him. People say, what is all that? He was the most devoted man. Well, he was not devoted to the master, he was devoted to his personal interests. Leave your homes for the sake of God, all through the way. Don't think of anything else when you reach the place. Don't think of who has come or who has not come. Only you and between you and the master, there should be no one, nobody else. We strike friendships within the way and take and tell them that, well, this is the way to love God. Well, look here, love God. Love does not mean sexual love. No, let me be very frank. You see, they begin to love physically. The result is they stand between the master and the man concerned.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. This morning, our reader is Barbara Ann Grimes. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Carry on.
Thank you. Continuing on with the beautiful book by Kirpal Singh, A Great Saint, Baba Jaimal Singh, His Life and His Teachings. We've passed through from his birth through adolescence, through down joining in the army in the 24th Sikh Regiment. And I'm going to backtrack just a little bit because I thought we'd like to read again the last visit that Jaimal Singh had with his master, Swamiji, before Swamiji left his body. The time slipped by, and before he could even realize it, Jaimal Singh's day of parting arrived, and he went to Swamiji for blessings and to bid him farewell. "This is going to be our last meeting," observed the Master. "My mission on earth is almost over. I need hardly repeat that I have cast you in my own mold, and you are of my very essence." When Chandra Singh, who was also at Punigali at that time, heard that Swamiji intended to leave the world in a short while, he exclaimed, "What will become of us?" And he begged him to leave someone behind to carry on his work in the Punjab. Swamiji smiled and replied, "Your prayers have already been granted by the Almighty, and Jaimal, whom I have already given authority for initiation, has been deputed for the task." And then, turning back to Jaimal, he said, "Put all seekers that come to you on the path of Nam, but see that you steer clear of sects and creeds. Ours is the path of Nanak and Kabir. Whosoever is fired by spiritual zeal, whether of this faith or of that, has a right to it. Carry on in all humility, and whatever you do, do it as a servant of the saints." He then turned to Radhaji and, placing his hand on Jaimal's back, declared, "He is indeed our Gurmukh son." And taking a headdress, he lovingly bestowed it as a parting gift to his apt and faithful disciple. This great love and honor was too much for the humble Gurmukh, and overwhelmed, his eyes were filled with tears. His heart was heavy as he left, thinking of the approaching end of his master's earthly sojourn and the difficult burden that was being placed on his shoulders. Then, after he left Swamiji, he went back to his regiment, the 24th, and he did see active duty there, and as he had also previously. And it said that after the day was done, Jaimal Singh would go out in the wilderness and dig a little hole and sit there with his rifle underneath his knees and go into his meditation. He was spotted by enemy snipers, Kirpal Singh tells us, and they left him untouched because of the radiance in his body. They assumed he was some sort of a fakir. And when he would come out of his meditations, they would often bow in reverence to him. He was much admired in his regiment, and especially people took interest because on occasion it seemed that he could look into the future. Now, continuing on, such strange happenings were not infrequent where Jaimal Singh was concerned, and with the passage of time, he became an institution in the regiment. Everyone respected him, and even the English officers held him in great veneration, calling him Lord Bishop. All those spiritually inclined sought his company, and no less than those who suffered from some worldly affliction. Thus, Karak Singh, who had been married for many years without issue, begged him for the blessing of a child. Jamal Singh observed that he was not destined to have a child, but when Karak Singh continued to press him, his prayer was granted. The child was born, but the happy father failed to give away in charity the sum of 500 rupees, which Jamal Singh had strictly enjoined him to distribute. Not long after, the Subedar fell seriously ill. Jamal Singh was called, but he said that it was too late now, and the evil was past any remedy. A few days later, Karak Singh passed away. Was it mere chance, or was it because of Jamal Singh, that the members of the 24th Sikhs showed an extraordinary interest in spiritual matters? It's not an unusual phenomenon that the true holy men spread an aura of peace wherever they are, drawing the devotees of the Lord toward themselves and influencing those around them. This regiment became known for its religious inclinations, and many a sadhu would pay it a visit whenever it was stationed. Jamal Singh was always invited whenever any sadhu paid a visit to the regimental center or when any of its members went forth to meet them. When once some of their young Sikh soldiers had to be baptized as adults into their faith, he was unhesitatingly chosen to conduct the ceremony and gave an illuminating discourse on the inner spiritual significance of the ritual. His recitations from scriptures began gradually to be attended by more and more people, and in later years, Jamal Singh, who by then had come to be popularly addressed as Babaji, Baiji, or San Sepahi, often discoursed briefly on their true import. His magnetic personality, his impeccable character, his spiritual mastery, and his growing fame gradually grew around him a small circle of very devoted followers from the regiment, men like Inder Singh, Bhaga Singh, Bhagwan Singh, etc., who became his earliest initiates. But Baba Jamal Singh's military career was conspicuous not only for its rigid adherence to high spiritual ideal, but also for its equally remarkable performance in the field of army duties. True to his master's behest, Jamal Singh was extremely regular in his official routine. Nothing could keep him away from his work except perhaps his absorption in the divine, on which occasions Swamiji miraculously filled up the gap. He was known for his honesty and impartiality, and though a strict vegetarian himself, he did not hesitate to have meat distributed to his fellows, as duty bound, when once he was called upon to do so. Once an officer asserted that his vegetarianism was in all probability undermining his capabilities as a soldier, and suggested that he should take to non-vegetarian food to develop more stamina and muscle, Jamal Singh was unconvinced and challenged any meat-eating toughs to surpass him on the field. He was later requested to explain the grounds for his abstinence and gave a full discourse to the entire regiment, developing at length the reasons why meat should be avoided, and exploding the popular myth that vegetarian food is in any way deficient in vitality. His service role, covering 34 years of active service, proves the truth of his assertion. It records not a single instance of hospitalization. Like his great guru, Jaimal Singh was unassailable both in worldliness and godliness. His exemplary regularity, sobriety, and courage, his readiness to shoulder responsibility, and his honest discharge of all his duties, for all his quietness and unobtrusiveness, did not go unnoticed. In January 1869, he was awarded a medal for the rank of Naik while at Jhansi. In Mianamir, on the same day, 3 years later, he became a Havildar. And when the 24th Sikhs were at Multan from 1880 onward for 3 years, he received a second medal for loyal and meritorious service. He retired on 15th August 1889 after full 34 years of faithful and creditable service. And when he bade his regiment farewell, the hearts of all were happy, juniors, colleagues, and seniors, for they lost in him not just a steady, hard-working comrade, but a friend, a teacher. He taught Gurmukh to the officers, and what is far rarer, an unfailing and inspiring moral and spiritual guide. The accounts of Babaji left by his army colleagues and others are of a piece with the rest of his life and character, and reading through them, we learn of a man who, while lost in the divine mysteries, was yet not lost to the world. A fellow soldier who happened to be placed under him while he was a Havildar was surprised that in all the 3 years they were together, he did not once notice or hear of his being out of temper. He was always sweet-spoken and refrained from harshness and vulgarity. All his life he remained a strict vegetarian and an equally strict teetotaler. And to these we may add his rigid brahmacharya, for he remained a celibate all his years. Wedded to devotion to God, he never experienced the urge to marry, and stoutly resisted any attempt to cajole him into matrimony. When his youngest brother, Jeevan Singh, also entered the army and expressed his desire to marry, Jaimal Singh did not object, but only said, "Why enter into this web when our family is not destined to continue?" Jeevan Singh was married, and a year later a son was born, who died shortly, followed by his mother. Don Singh, the second brother, who managed the farm, also had no issue, and Jamal's prediction was thus fulfilled. Other qualities that marked Jaimal Singh out of the general run of men included an exhaustible capacity for service, charity, and generosity. Like Swamiji, he often distributed clothes and other necessities to the needy and the wretched. He had no enemies and looked upon all as his friends. His love, however, was especially directed to the poor, and even more so to sadhus and devotees of the Lord. While others were idling or busy with sport, he sought out the company of such devotees, ministering to their needs or discussing spiritual problems. Neither in his army life nor even afterward did he distinguish between creed and creed, but treated all, Muslims, Christians, Sikhs, or Hindus, on an equal footing. While ever ready to help materially or spiritually, he always avoided the limelight. Even as a child, he had been known for his modesty, his shyness being sometimes made a subject of ridicule. If he met sadhus, He contented himself with listening to what they said. He rarely contradicted or criticized, and if he met a genuine seeker, he was ready enough to discuss and explain, but he attributed whatever he knew not to any virtue in himself, but to the grace of his peerless master. His dress and appearance were as simple yet elegant as the man himself. Of medium height, some 5 feet and 6 inches, he was sturdily built. He had a knotty protrusion on his forehead above the right eye and a lotus mark, symbolic of true spirituality, on the sole of his right foot. He had fine features, wheatish complexion, and a glowing face whose ruddy color was set off by a rich, freely flowing beard, which retained its lustrous blackness to the very end, except for a few straggling streaks of white. When not in army uniform, he wore a white turban in jat style, a white muslin loose shirt, and tight-fitting pajamas of the same color. While in his quarter and formally among his fellows, he would usually wrap a khadi sheet about him, tucking it on the left side, cover his hair, which when unloosed fell to his waist, with a towel, and move about in wooden sandals or Indian shoes. He was simple in his habits and frugal in his needs. Milk was his favorite item of food, and he was particularly fond of goat's milk. He spent little upon himself, and his earnings were mostly spent in charity or in sending allowances to his brother. The Torchbearer. Baba Jaimal Singh, on retiring as a government pensioner from the army, decided to visit the home of his incomparable master. Swamiji had passed away in 1878, as he himself had foretold, but Babaji was greatly attached to his family and his disciples. So, in 1890, he took train for the old Mughal capital, and on reaching there, proceeded straight to Punigali. Radhaji was overjoyed to see Swamiji's beloved disciple once more. Chachapartap Singh, his youngest brother, was delighted and gave him a cordial welcome. Word was sent to Baba Garib Das, then apparently at Agra, and he hastened to meet the great soul from the Punjab. Who can describe the deep joy that was theirs as they greeted and embraced each other and remembered the great master who no longer in this physical plane was yet spiritually ever with them? Who can fathom the feelings of such master spirits? The old spiritual comrades radiated love as they greeted each other, and to see them meet was itself a lesson in the truth that God is love. Radhaji brought forth a red turban and a prayer carpet, which Swamiji had left with her before his passing away as a last gift to his Gurmukh disciple. Chachapartap Singh then brought a gadi and begged Babaji to be seated, but he would not hear of it, confirming, "I am but a dog in this house, blessed to be admitted within its walls," and he kept standing. Chachapartap Singh protested and persisted, but to no avail. At last, Radhaji intervened and ended the controversy by saying, "Jaimal Singh is indeed a worthy son of Swamiji, who has made the most of the capital entrusted to him. He has bestowed him with the lordship of Satlok. So why should he care for earthly gaudies?" When meals were over, Babaji insisted on washing the utensils. "This home is for me a temple, for it was here that I got enlightenment. My only ambition is to serve this house." But Radhaji would not hear of it. "You may do as you please some other day," she declared, "but today you must abide by what I say." And the next day, accompanied by Chacha Partap Singh and Baba Garib Das, Baba Jamal Singh proceeded to Rai Saligram, a beloved disciple of Swamiji, who had been entrusted after him with the work at Agra and carried on his discourses at Pipal Mandi, where he was popularly known as Hazur Maharaj. He rejoiced at the visit and received the honored guest from Guman with respect and affection. The two embraced, after which Hazur Maharaj drew Babaji toward the gadi on which he had been sitting in order to seat him next to himself. But with characteristic humility, he declined the honor and sat himself on the floor. The third day, Hazur Maharaj presented Babaji with a rich silken robe embroidered with gold. He, however, would not hear of it. "What has a simple farmer like me to do with such precious fabrics? Khadi suits me better." "How can you say such things?" protested the host. "When Swamiji has made you a king of spirituality and entrusted you with his mission in the Punjab." Seeing that Babaji would not give way, he finally suggested, "Very well, if you will not accept this robe, at least do me the honor of putting it on once, after which I would keep it as a prized souvenir." On hearing this, Chacha Partap Singh declared that he had a prior right and should be allowed to have the dress after Baba Jamal Singh had donned it. At last, Radhaji stepped in and she interceded. How could Jamal Singh resist any longer? Such love, such honor, what mortal could deserve it? It was all the grace of his master. With tears in his eyes, he took the robe from Radhaji's hands and placed it reverently on his head, reciting the verses from the Granth Sahib beginning, "I am unworthy, and no virtue is in me." A week passed by in this fashion, and having paid his homage to the place where he had received spiritual illumination, Baba Jamal Singh prepared to depart. He invited Baba Garib Das to join him, and the latter graciously accepted the invitation. The party set forth for the Punjab, and when they arrived at Guman, scriptural recitations and discourses were arranged in their honor. Jiwan Singh's marriage was at hand, and there was feasting and rejoicing. The villagers keenly enjoyed the talks given by the two spiritual friends, and the days rolled by till Baba Garib Singh Das had to leave. Jamal Singh accompanied him to the Beas railway station and bade him a touching farewell as he left by train. Babaji continued to be on very friendly terms with Swamiji's disciples and with the members of his family. There was great mutual respect and esteem. And Babaji's visit to Muri in 1894 was made at the invitation of some Agra satsangis. But after the passing away of Hazur Maharaj, Rai Saligram Ji, things began to undergo a change. A move was made to bring all activities under the control of Pandit Brahm Shankar Misra, alias Maharaj Sahib, through the creation of a central administrative council at Swamibaj. Babaji was nominated, along with 9 others, for the first panel of the council. The letter sent to Baba Jamal Singh by Chacha Partap Singh from Allahabad on the occasion, dated the 4th of August, 1902, nominating him as such, is on record. And this is the letter. Beloved of the Satguru, purified by Shabd, pure of face and intellect, Baba Jaimal Singh Ji, I've received your letter and was very glad to read its contents, and the stone which you suggested will be put in the building. You may be assured about that. My son, Suchat Singh, has come back on pension. I am, however, sorry to note that there is a tendency of forming different sects and cliques in our satsang, and that all satsangis are not in harmony with each other. And for this purpose, I have come here to Allahabad. We have decided that a Radha Swami Satsang Central Association should be started. Panditjin, which is Brahm Shakar Misra, has insisted that I should be its president and he will be the vice president, and that Lala Prashad, son of Hazur Sahib Maharaj, that is Rai Saligram, and eight others, as well as yourself, should be members, or in whatever manner any 10 members can be selected by the satsangis by a vote of majority. I am therefore sending you a pamphlet containing a complete description about the Central Association and can send you any number of copies as may be required. Please send instructions to all your satsangis that they should sanction the following 10 names and endorse these pamphlets in token of their nomination. If you have satsangis in far-off places, they should also be asked to act accordingly. I'm giving below the names of the 10 members referred to above. It is expected that by the constitution of this society, different groups and cliques will disappear and satsangis will love each other as brothers. Kindly send this letter to Baba Sawan Singh also for his information. Babaji, however, was reluctant to join the council, as he felt the changes that were taking place about this time among the Agra satsangis were not in consonance with Swamiji's teachings. He also objected to and opposed Maharaj Sahib's plan for building a magnificent samad in memory of Swamiji, because he felt that so humble a spirit as his master would never have countenanced such a project. When he went to Agra about this time, he openly explained his point of view, but Maharaj Sahib was not to be dissuaded. Finding himself no longer well received and his words of no avail, he returned to Bayas and decided to remain aloof from the activities of the council at Swami Bhaj. During his military career, Baba Jaimal Singh, whenever he had leave, spent part of it at Guman. Though detached from worldly ties, he was yet very fond of his mother, and on one occasion he was to tell a devoted disciple that in their past 3 lives he and his mother had enjoyed the same relationship. On such occasions, when he came to his ancestral home, it was his wont not to waste time in needless gossip and idling, but to proceed to the banks of the Bayas and sit hidden in the gullies that the wayward river had created by its freakish changes of course, and continue lost in spiritual devotion for days, subsisting only on a few dry chapatis that he brought from home and hung on a kikar tree. At other times, when he was at home, he would walk down to Dera Baba Namdev's and carry on his meditation there or in a dugout in the courtyard of the family house. This house and dugout were preserved long after Babaji's death with his successor, Hazur Baba Sawan Singh Ji Maharaj, and this successor would sometimes take his closest disciples to Guman and show them the spot where his great guru used to sit for meditation. In particular, he would point out the peg on the wall behind the dugout where Babaji would tie up his hair in order to ward off sleep during meditation. Just as his fellow soldiers learned in time to respect and revere Baba Jaimal Singh, in like manner, the inhabitants of Guman came gradually to recognize his great spiritual nature. His early childhood devotion had already become a local legend, and whenever the Sant Sipahi came, the local folk flocked to see him, and his company was sought by young and old, whosoever was spiritually inclined. Mr. Elahi Baks and Bhai Lena, who had been his boyhood friends, were the first to seek his spiritual guidance. He commended their zeal, but said that the time was not yet ripe for their instruction, and many years later, when he felt the hour had come, he put them on the inner path, and they were among his earliest Gumong disciples. And I'll stop there. Thank you, Master, for this satsang.
Thank you, Barbara, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. So there were 71 people today at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this satsang for us. Please hang up your phone.